What we're going to do, this is Emmanuel Community Sunday. Now we will henceforth refer to it as MCOM Sunday because it's easier to say and it's helpful when it's easier to say. So when Ian said that Neil was involved in restorative justice, you know, I think that's great. I've no idea what it means, but I think it's great. So today, MCOM Sunday, we're going to begin by showing a video that the MCOM leaders were asked to submit photographs. Nothing too embarrassing, we hope. But let's just watch this because it takes us through something of the life that is represented among us. You can start now. Now that gives you an idea of what goes on in our small groups. We have many small groups scattered throughout the whole region. And looking at that, you will see that food features very prominently in many of them. And I am convinced that there are people here who belong to at least three different groups. When you look at that, I think people just turn up where the food is on offer and enjoy it. But the whole wealth of range of activities from those of us of a certain generation who prefer just to sit and enjoy ourselves, to those of a younger generation who like to go outside and enjoy yourselves. Well, bless you, you're free to do that. Absolutely. But this morning, what we want to do is to encourage as many people who are not part of one of our Emmanuel communities to become part of it, because we do believe it's essential for us as we head into the future and all that God has got for us. We do believe that a small group network, whatever you call it, and down through the years, we have had some names. There are people here. You know how you can sort of, you can date a tree by how many rings it has? Well, you could probably date the age of people in this room by how many names they've gone through as we have renamed our small groups down through the years and relaunched. And Emmanuel Communities is simply the latest. And I have no doubt that will change at some point in the future. So we've had all sorts. But the same intention is to provide that small group network by which people can be thoroughly fitted into the church and develop and grow and reach out into the community where you are placed. But where I want to begin this morning, and I'm not going to speak for very long because I want some others to come and share. What I want to do is to paint a big picture of what God has in store for the church and for us to see Emmanuel Communities as part of that working out of the purposes of God. And it was interesting that John brought that reading from 1 Kings 18. Because essentially what God is saying, you know, he's saying, well, look, what is it you see? And when we look through the scriptures, we'll find that God comes again and again and he asks questions. And he will say to people, well, what is it you see? What is it you want to do? What are the circumstances? And that's exactly what we find in 1 Kings 18. So Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told us. And he went up and he says, there's nothing there. So he's telling his servant to go and look and see what he could see. And when we read the story of Jeremiah and his commission, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 10 to 12, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. And what is the word of the Lord? What do you see, Jeremiah? What do you see? And what we see with our spiritual eyes and ears will determine our response and will determine how we move forward in our lives from that point. So we need to ask the question, what do we see when we read certain passages of Scripture? Because there are certain passages of Scripture that are trotted out at various times of year, which are full of the most incredible truths, but unless we see those truths with our spiritual ears, then we're going to miss what God, or even our spiritual eyes. Did you spot that one? John did. I think as it worked at the back, it gets sleepier at the back, you know, John, gets sleepier. So what we see with our spiritual ears and hear with our spiritual eyes is very, very important. So for instance, over the Christmas period, how often was Isaiah chapter 9 read out? For us, for unto us, a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. You probably have every carol service in the land where that is read. And people think, oh, what a nice thing to read out. Doesn't it sound lovely? It's almost like one of these fluffy little verses to go with the baby in the manger and the kings and the shepherds and everything that goes with the Christmas story. But with your spiritual eyes, you can see something far greater and of world life-changing importance. Because it says, of this child who has been given, of the increase in, of his government and peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And the passage ends with, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And so we can see it as a rather nice sentimental passage. But if we really, with our spiritual eyes, I'm going to work on this. If we can see beyond that to the incredible promise of God, that God his Father is going to send Jesus, and of the increase of his government, there will be no end. Now, either that is a promise of God that he is overseeing and will fulfill, or he's telling a fib. Now, guess what we believe? You know, this is a promise of God. And as we gather here, we need to recognize that the plans and purposes of God are for the increase and government of Jesus to know no end until Jesus returns again. And we're living at that time from when the promise was given until where that promise will be fully fulfilled when Jesus returns. We're in that interim period. But we never should lose sight of the fact that that is the heart of God. And that's what we need to gain strength from and not be over-concerned by what is going on around us in the world. We need to be fed by the promises of God. So that small passage of Scripture, along with many others, is pointing to the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, Jesus coming, his kingdom increasing, and the church is the agent, is the visible expression of that rule of the kingdom. One more passage from Isaiah chapter 22. And this is a revelation again of God, when he's pointing to the last days. And he's pointing to what is to come. We are not living in the fullness of this. But it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. That is the church, the worldwide church, will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. All nations will stream to it. What's happening here? It's preaching. It's teaching about a worldwide revival that is yet to come. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Many peoples will come and say, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's in Isaiah. And what I find quite remarkable is that that entire prophecy is repeated again in Micah. And in Micah we find it almost word for word. So if God says something once, it's important. If God says something twice, it's very important. And it's repeated there word for word, because I believe that God wants us to get into our hearts and spirits the very fact that God has an end time plan, and we are living in the times leading up to the fulfillment of that plan, where the church of Jesus Christ will be raised up. What does that mean? It'll just be a world full of people who are giving glory to Jesus. We do not subscribe to the idea that the church is going to be a small remnant living in a little cul-de-sac, all nice and quiet with no impact. We do not see that in Scripture, but we see that the church of Jesus Christ, where the rule of Jesus is worked out day by day, of that increase there will be no end. And that together with Christians throughout the nations, there will come that day when people will stream to the church, will stream to the mountain of the Lord and say, we've come to hear the word of the Lord. We've come to be taught. Because the promises of God cannot remain unfulfilled. And I suggest, go to Scripture and find out for yourself the promises of God that are yet to be fulfilled in these coming days. And so this is the most incredible promise. These are most incredible promises, but it's up to us to believe them. And as we see them as the promises of God, that will have an impact on how we respond to Jesus, how we respond to one another. And as we gather here on a Sunday morning, yes, there's only a small number of us, but if we see that we are part and parcel of the fulfilling of this worldwide move of God, then this gathering should take on a whole new dimension. It's not simply a few people gathered together in a commercial unit in Belmont Industrial Estate. We're part of the fulfilling of God's eternal plan, that of the increase of his government there shall be no end. And that's what we signed up for. We're not signing up for something that's going to end in defeat. We're not signing up to be part of a holy remnant. We're signing up to be part of a glorious worldwide church where Jesus is exalted in the nations. And they're Old Testament promises, but the New Testament is full of promises too. And one of the most important words comes from Jesus himself when he's saying to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? They said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah. It's a great verse, that, because it just shows what people have been saying about Jesus. So the gossip that has been going on there. And then he comes again with the question. And this is the killer question, because we can tell, I wonder how often we spend time telling God about others. How often do we spend time telling God about where we are? And that's far more important. So he says to the disciples, all right, then that's what all these other people say. And you just get the idea of him pointing a finger. But who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then comes the tremendous promise of Jesus, which again, we can so easily read, but sort of miss out on the power of this. He said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. That is the the foundation of faith that Peter is expressing. And we all know what follows. And the gates of hell will not, shall not prevail against it. Who said that? Jesus. It wasn't a trick question. You know, people say, I don't want to say that. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church, and we are part of that building. I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, the reality is sometimes we think the gates of hell have triumphed. You know, we look at situations. But what we need to do is refocus our spiritual eyes onto the promises of God. And Jesus himself is saying, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And remember, gates are a defensive weapon, not offensive. It means that the church of Jesus Christ is constantly pushing back and pushing back and pushing at the gates of hell. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God, will not prevail against the spirit-filled community, because we are on the offensive. You know, if you're on the offensive, you don't say to an army, right, I'm going to give you your weapon. Here's a gate. Go and hit the enemy with a gate. Gates are there to keep people out. The gates of hell are there to keep the church out. God's saying, Jesus said, is saying, the gates of hell will not, cannot prevail against my church. And we need to allow that truth to sink into our spirits. And so we need to see these promises. When you're reading through the scripture, have a look and see what it says of the promises that are yet to be fulfilled. And allow God to plant them deep within our souls, because we are part of the outworking of those promises. So on Emmanuel Community Sunday, when we're talking about our small groups, the reason I wanted to start with these promises of God and this worldwide picture is that as we gather in our small groups throughout this region, we need to see ourselves as being outposts of this wonderful kingdom, and we're pushing back against the enemy and the powers of darkness. If we can allow that to really sink in our spirits, as we get together, there won't be any warm-up time. There won't be, oh, should I go or not go tonight? And every small group leader knows that experience, that you've got yourself all ready in God. You're full of the Spirit. You're ready to go. And then you get these telephone calls. I'm not coming tonight because the cat's sick. I'm not coming tonight because I'm tired. I'm not coming tonight because. And this is universal throughout any church. It's exactly the same because the human condition is very much the same. But if we can see that we are a part of the kingdom increase of Jesus in the world, that will revolutionize our approach to coming together in small groups. The early church, it says that they met together in groups both large in the temple and in their homes. And people have made much of the fact you've got these two ways of expressing church. And we believe that because a church can become any size as long as you have an effective small group network, whatever you call it. But I want to come back to this idea of our small groups, whatever they call, our Emmanuel communities, being outposts of the kingdom of God. And I looked up the definition of outpost, a place, especially a small group of buildings or town, that represents the authority or business interests of a government or company that is far away. And I thought that was so helpful, because what we are there for is to represent the interests, represent the investment, if you like, of God the Father and Jesus the Son, as we seek to live out his life among us as his people. We are not there primarily for ourselves. We are there for Jesus. We're there for him. So as we come together in our small groups, it's the place where we can experience the community of Jesus in a more intimate way. You know, it's great. I love when we come together in a large number for the praise and worship of Jesus. And my vision is for something much bigger than we have now. I love that because I think there is a dynamic. There's a wonderful joining together, isn't it? When you come together in a large number in order to give glory to Jesus. But we need this smaller expression where we can experience community at a deeper level, where we can know others and be known by them. We need these smaller contexts where we are encouraged as disciples of Jesus and strengthened in our walk with Jesus. There need to be places where the Holy Spirit can be experienced in a deep and meaningful way. And there need to be places where heaven touches earth. You know, imagine that every time you got together, you experienced heaven touching earth. You would not need to persuade people to come. Because there is that heartfelt desire in people for that touch of heaven to come and to be known among us. That's what a small group needs to be. The place where spiritual gifts can be nurtured. And we've had many people share this morning, but the reality is not everyone can share everything as we gather together in large numbers. But in a smaller group, you can. Small groups are essential to the health of any large church, because it's like that smaller cell, part of the bigger body. And as we come together in these small groups, we feed in to what God is doing here. But it's all because of what Jesus has promised. It's all to see his promises worked out among us. We didn't sit down one day and think, oh, wouldn't it be a wonderful idea to have small groups? Basically, Emmanuel has always been built on small groups because it is essential to the health of any church. And so I'm going to end there. But what I want now is I would like to have a video from Dan and Rachel Baker, who I believe on the weekend away, enjoying themselves. But they've videoed a testimony. And then we're going to hear from Barbara, who is just going to share something about her experience of small groups. And then we're going to hear from Ali and Jenny, who just recently launched a new group in Pittington. Because what we have now is not the end of the picture. We have a bigger vision, and the vision is to seed this whole area with Emmanuel communities and see what God does from that. So let's have the video, Andrew, please. One of the reasons why I'm still involved is because it's such a well-knit just family, yeah. That's the big word that stands out really for me.
You pretty much said everything that I was going to say. I think, you get to know people much better when you're in a smaller community like that. So I feel like we know each other.
It'll change your life. You should have seen him before. Now, who's in the Emmanuel community? Will you put your hand up? Because we need to know who to blame. See those hands? Now we're going to have Barbara. Give Barbara a very warm welcome. Hey.
Before that, and sometimes it's difficult on a Tuesday night to think, oh, we've got to go to this group. But you know, those thoughts, and I'm sure we are not the only one that think that way, but God is faithful. And you know, when you do go, God turns up, God is there. And the place, and for me, being in the group that we're in, is a place of belonging and getting to know one another. Because on a Sunday morning, you can say hello to many people, and everybody's busy, and everybody's seeing one another. But I think the community groups is a place where you can really get to know one another, and you can share heart. And it's a safe place as well. You know, and there are people there that love you and that care for you. And it's a place, too, where you can bring your prayer requests. And over these last 2 years, we've had situations in our lives where I think constantly, week after week, we've been prayed for. But do you know what? There's been such rejoicing when God's answered the prayer. And not rejoicing in just for Richard and I, but rejoicing for the group, because they've all been part of those prayer requests. They've all been part of what we've been going through. And not just us, but we've seen God answer prayer with Ross and many other things. And it's just been an amazing time. And when we get there, we know that God is turning up. It's a time where the word of God is shared. It's a time where, you know, sometimes God can give you words on a Sunday morning and you think, oh, I'm not going out there to share that. That's a bit frightening. But community groups is where you can experience and where you can experiment, if you like, with God giving you words, where you can pray for one another, where you can hear God speak to you as an individual or as a group. And I know that Alan shared that the purpose of our group is to create an environment where we can freely encounter the Holy Spirit. And I can say that over the last 2 years, that's been my testimony, where I've encountered the Holy Spirit. And I'd just like to share a testimony. Just after we started the group, or maybe a year, I was taking antidepressants, and I'd been on them for a very long time. And I was in the meeting, and I didn't share this with anyone, and I just felt God say, do you really need these? And my thought was, I am never coming off these. I won't survive. But God spoke to me, and God challenged me. And for months, I went, I got the prescription, I brought it home. I never took it. I brought it down gradually because I knew that was the sensible thing to do. But do you know what? I don't need those anymore, because God's Spirit is in me, and God's shown me. And I'm just so thankful. And I would say to anyone this morning who's not in a community group, please don't make the excuse, it's too cold, it's too dark, it's too wet, I'm too tired. Get yourself along to a community group, because God will bless you and you'll feel part of the bigger picture of what God's doing.
Barbara. Excellent. Now, Barbara, just thank you. That was. I'll give you £10 later on. I mean, what Barbara hasn't actually, she said she'd been on antidepressants for a while. What she hasn't said is she started taking them on her honeymoon. Right. That's another story. Now, give Jenny and Ali a warm welcome. Now, Jenny and Ali, they're 2 weeks into forming a new group through at Pittington. Over to you.
Hello, everyone. So we started 2 weeks ago, but for us, this journey started 11 years ago. And it started with Dave Campbell, as often these things do. Back when this building was an undeveloped shell of a building, we had a prayer meeting, and at that prayer meeting, he spoke from Mark 1, where he spoke about, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I have come." And something about that just grasped both of us. And we ended up on this journey of going around all the villages that encircle Durham City and praying about where we felt God wanted us to be. And we found ourselves sat in a little park in High Pittington, praying over sort of a little group of houses. And through God's sort of faithfulness, and blessing, we've actually ended up living in two of those houses that we prayed over. Initially, we were living next door to the Knight family, and then we ended up moving into the Knight family's house fairly recently. And I have to say, those times have been, they were quite difficult for us. They were rocky times. There was lots of ups and downs within them. And the community groups that we've been part of during that time have blessed us in extraordinary ways. But Pittington is only a really tiny place, if anyone, you know, for those of you that know it. But it's a place with an extraordinary spiritual heritage. People have been worshipping Jesus in this little tiny village for 1,000 years. And the recent move to next door has been a time where we felt we've really rededicated ourselves to the village and have a sense of God's provision there's a sense of purpose about why we're there and the plans that he has for us, not only in Pittington but also the nearby communities. And I was reminded during the worship today about a story of, there's an ancient church that we look out over. And it's named St. Lawrence. And St. Lawrence apparently was a minister in the 3rd century in Italy. And he was martyred because they came and asked him to bring out the treasure of the church, to hand over the treasure of the church. And he brought out the poor and the widowed people in his community and presented them as the treasure. And it just reminded me that that's kind of what the community groups feel like they are for me. That they're about us sort of recognising the treasure that we are to God individually, but also recognising the treasure that's in the communities around us as well. So, yes.
So as Alan said, what do you see? If you look at us at the moment, you know, we're 2 weeks into a small group, a few people coming along. What does it look like? Well, I don't quite know yet. But we've got some ideas of some of the aspects of it. You know, if you've been paying attention when Ali was bringing the aspects of the regions beyond, you probably would have heard plenty of the different things. You know, we're a community based out of Emmanuel Church. We want community and friendship. We want to explore faith together. But we're based in a particular place in Pittington, but we're looking out over the area that's around there. Unfortunately, the slides haven't come up, but we've had some pictures. If you catch me later, you can see them perhaps. But you can look down from Pittington Hill across back towards this kind of area. You can see the cathedral in the background. You can work out where this building is. You can see all those communities kind of laid out. And as Alan's been talking about the A1, A19 corridor, you can look to the north and you can look somewhat to the south and you can see, you can't see very much to further east than us, but, you know, that's, you can look out over this area and you can see communities that don't yet know Jesus. And that's one of the things that we feel really quite called to, that this is a community group which at the moment hasn't got many people in because we want space for other people to come into. And I have no idea quite how that's going to happen or what that's going to look like. But, you know, what do we see? Well, we want to see more people come into community groups. We want to see people flourish. And I'm quite known for metaphor, so hang on for two. One, we're like pebbles. We're not like rock, we're pebbles. But where we rest on the foundation of Christ as our solid rock, we are steady. And so that's part of what we want our community group to be, where we dig down for deep foundations, where we're solid. But I also see small groups as being like storehouses. Like Joseph, you know, he brought in the resources when there were good times. We here are people experiencing good times. We want people in community groups to recognize their value and to come together, but then be ready and prepared so that when Jesus calls us out into something new, we're ready to go. So come in, come and be part of them, come and enjoy the fellowship and the food, enjoy learning more about Jesus together, enjoy learning about the gifts that God has promised each one of us to have, and then get ready, because there is a lot of area out there where, whether in this country, whether in this area, or whether it's worldwide, that God is calling us to. So just be prepared, and yeah, let's have some fun whilst doing it.
Excellent. Thank you. Just stay there. Am I still on? What I would like is all the other Emmanuel community leaders or co-leaders, will you come out to the front now, please? If you're leading an Emmanuel community, come out. And all I want you to do is simply to say the area where you are based. Now, I know some groups move around more than others, but most groups have a particular area where they spend more time than others. So I started this end. And then if you are not yet in a community group, but one of these areas just really strikes you, because we don't mind people moving around to find where they need to be connected. Hello. Right. If you start and then just hand the microphone down, and literally all I want you to do, well, we know where you are.
Yes.
Yeah. But stay there anyway. Right.
And the top of Claypath.
The top of Claypath.
Yeah, in Durham, yeah.
Anybody from the top of Claypath? No, that's a... not going to get anybody. Right, Barry.
We're down the sunny south of Hartlepool.
Belmont.
Belmont.
Pittington.
Ferry Hill.
Neville's Cross in Durham City.
Thanks. Charles Gate.
Belmont.
Charles Gate.
Amen. Well, that's it. Now, what we see is there are areas where we have no group. We don't have any groups over at Newton Hall at the moment connected in with Emmanuel here at Durham. There are other areas where we can seed the area with new groups. And we can seed out of these present groups. This group that Jenny and Ali are part of have come out of a Belmont-based group. But when they came into the group, it was always with that intention of equipping them in order to send them out in order to start a new group. And that's what we want to do over this coming year. It is a year very much where we want to seed this whole area with new groups. And this is the start of it. So in a year's time, we want to see many, many more people gathered out here as we celebrate what God is doing among us in our Emmanuel communities. Amen. So where do we go from here? You've seen these people who have introduced themselves. If you want to speak to them, if you're not yet in a group, or you'd like to change groups, talk to the person you're leaving, though, first. But, you know, we do. We want people to find a place where they are connected. Not every group will work for every person. You've got to find where God has knitted you. So if any of these wonderful people have attracted you, please go and talk to them. Or we have a sign-up sheet in the foyer there. And all we want three things: your name, a contact, either telephone or email, and your bank details. No. All right, then. We'll just settle for two of those. Your name and your bank details. We won't bother with the rest. But no, we want to have some means of contacting you, and someone will get back to you. But could I urge you that if you're not yet part of a group, come, because I'll tell you what, you will bless the group, as the group will bless you. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord. In fact, I'll tell you what, Jenny, you pray for us all. But Sarah's going to pray. What's going on here?
Go ahead, Jenny.
Go ahead,
Jenny. Lord, I want to thank you for this community that you've placed us into. I want to thank you for the community that it is, Emmanuel Church. But Lord, I pray for these outreach posts that we spoke of earlier. That, Lord, we'd be effective in your purposes. That, Lord, you would place us each in an Emmanuel community so that we can develop in our relationship with you, so that we would grow in our knowledge of your love for us and our worth to you, and that, Lord, we would be able to know our spiritual gifts and to use them, Lord, for your purposes here on earth. Lord, use these groups to bring your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we're going to leave it there. We're going to fellowship in the foyer. Please see these people or add your name to a list, and we'll follow you up very, very soon. But let's see what God is going to do among us in these coming weeks. Thank you very much, and thank you all.